Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Above the Bar podcast, where each week we belly up to the bar with a new guest, find out what they do, who they are, and what makes them great. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. As always, we've got a great show today. We've brought with us, I can't say if he's a made man, but he's made. He is a man. I can't say if he knows the difference. I will put it this way. I promise you he's never put sugar in his sauce. I promise you he doesn't call it sauce. He calls it gravy. And he might even know about hard-boiled I don't know if he knows about hard-boiled eggs in the sauce on Sunday. We'll have to talk about that. That's a very good thing. But I guarantee you he's had ossobuco one day in his life, at least once. Joining us from parts unknown, which is New York City, joining us today, the CEO, the leader, the genealogy master, Mr. Bob Sorrento. Oh, Bob, I can't get my... Bob, I almost messed up for you. I told you, Bob, I don't script those things.
You know, in New York, it's Sorrentino. In Naples, it's Sorrentino.
Sorrentino. So, we're going to get into this in a moment. Bob, I can't wait because we talked a little bit before the show. I promise you, I went to 6 years of Catholic school trying to explain to the kids who had like legitimate Italian last names, whose moms were like absolutely Italian. You know, they were all nobody's mom was over 4'11", dark hair. And, you know, the kids were the same way. And they're like, your last name's Murphy. I'm like, but my grandmother and my dad was half Italian. Like there was no, and they were like, no, you're not. Your name is as Irish as it gets. So we'll get into that in a minute. But as always, folks, over my right shoulder, we got the big sign for sticker and a cause. You got something you're supporting. Maybe you have a genealogy for Polish. I know some. We talked about this last week. All the Polish jokes are done. Nobody does Polish jokes anymore. But maybe you have a genealogy for Polish. Maybe you've got a Girl Scout troop. Maybe you've got something going on and you're looking to support it and you want people to hear about it. Reach out to me, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, whatever it is that you're reaching out to me on. Let me know what it is. Send me a message. I'll give you the address where to send it to. You send me a sticker. We put it up on the big board for sticker and a cause, and you get some free advertising. Sticker and a cause. Send some out here, folks. Other side to this, as always, and our sponsorship continues to grow. We're beyond just Budget Blinds of East Greenbush. We were just contacted, and we are going to have Budget Blinds of Hudson. And this would be a good game. I think this was a good game. Somebody told me about this. Have you ever heard of Cooksaki, New York, Bob?
Yes, yes.
Now, have you ever seen how Cooksaki is spelled?
Yep.
Does it sound like it says no. Cooksaki? Nope. It is an HR nightmare. But that being said, and for those who don't know, look it up. You'll understand what we mean. And as always with these guys, let's see here. Picture this, beautiful custom windows, perfectly complementing the decor, providing privacy and blocking out harsh sunlight. And guess what? Getting the blinds of your dream is as easy now as just reaching out to Budget Blinds. That if you let them know that you're there to belly up to the bar, they're going to give you a 10% discount off your entire order just for saying you're there to belly up to the bar. That's Budget Blinds of East Greenbush and Hudson and Cooksaki. They're all Budget Blinds. So I just group them all together. People are like, oh, tell me about Bob. Well, look, here's why I wanted Bob one. And I've said it already. I got picked on so bad as a kid. Because if you lived in the 80s, from every Rocky movie, anything Stallone did, you wanted to be Italian. That was a fact. Look at Andrew Dice Clay. As Jewish of a comedian as you can find, everything about that guy was Italian. He wanted to be Italian so bad. He wore the leather jacket. He had the slick back hair. He had the tint. He wanted to be Italian. If you lived in the 80s, that's what you wanted to be. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Yeah, I would think so. But people still want to be Italian. So there you go.
Well, I mean, did Bob, at what point in your And here's how my picking one got started. At what point, and I still have mine, do you own an Italian horn?
You know, I did, to your point, probably back in the 70s and 80s. It's still up in a closet someplace. But I have a gold one that my wife gave me. You know, it's not one of those red plastic ones.
I have a gold one.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I think it, but I do remember the red plastic ones, you know, car mirrors and stuff like that. But so Bob, tell us a little bit about, you're the CEO of the media group. And then you have the running along the bottom of the screen. If you see it, you have ItalianGenealogy.blog. What is it about? I mean, it sounds pretty self-explanatory, but I feel like it doesn't say enough just by saying, well, it's a blog about Italian genealogy. Tell me a little bit about what got you to decide to go and follow this dream.
Well, you know, I always enjoyed history. That was my thing in school. Math, not so much. English, not so much. But I was good in history. And I always enjoyed growing up, going through the old photograph book with my mom. And, you know, we had the black book with the wooden cover and the little corners and all of that. But it wasn't until maybe 15, 16 years ago, I actually really started getting into the genealogy. And I had done so much of that for my own family that I decided to start the blog because I wanted to get that word out there, you know, what I did, why I did it, that kind of thing. And that evolved into doing the podcast and the YouTube because the blog was great, but it was only one way. So I wasn't hearing everybody else's story. And that I wanted to see, am I the only one who's doing this?
Now, you talk about everybody else's story. I am curious, and I'm going to make you tell your story. When I think, and this is my big thing that I love about what you're doing. I don't know of any other culture, excuse me, but American culture where let's call it what it is. We don't have necessarily, in my opinion, a culture that we identify with. We're all this American, that American. I've traveled overseas plenty of times, been throughout Europe. You'll never go to Italy and find one of them call themselves, even if they were born in the States and moved to Italy, you know, when they were, they'll never call themselves an Italian American. They'll never do that. They're Italian. If they moved to we're the only culture I know of that does that. We have to this then American. With gaining these stories, did you feel like hearing your story, like, hey, maybe I am more American this way than I realize? Does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, the Italian part is part of your history, but it makes you more American.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, growing up in the 50s and 60s, we never said Italian American. Somebody asked you, what are you? Well, they would know from your last name. Oh, you're Italian, you know, you're Irish or German, whatever. We never used Italian American. That came later. And, you know, when you go to Italy, you're not Italian. You're an American. You're not even an Italian American. You're American. And it's very clear when you get there how American you actually are. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like, some people say it, you know, I'm a, you know, American with Italian roots or an American with Italian blood or something to that effect, you know?
Now, what do you think about, and I just, this is a recent thing that I started seeing is people looking into how to gain additional citizenship. So I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this one, like I could go get Italian citizenship as long as I can show an Italian lineage.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated than that. I'm actually working on mine. I wish I started, you know, 30 years ago, but I didn't.
So you are doing it?
Yeah. I'm on the consulate list. I'm like number 6,000 to get an appointment in New York. So I'm working with an attorney in Italy to do it through the court, which is probably, it's not the fastest way. The fastest way is to actually go live there for 45 or 60 days. But it's quicker than, you know, waiting 3, 4, 5 years to get to get an appointment to see the consulate in New York City. But you know, there are specifics around that. You have to have a couple of ways of doing it. But the main thing for most of us, your father would have to have been born while your grandfather was still an Italian citizen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in my case, my father was born in 1923. My grandfather naturalized in 1939. So my father was born while my grandfather was still an Italian citizen.
So mine wasn't. So my grandfather, who was Italian, had passed away by the time my father was born. But my great grandmother.
This is funny. If you were born after 1948, you can apply through your grandmother was an Italian citizen.
So my grandmother was not an Italian citizen. She was the first in her family born here from Sicily.
But it depends probably, but would depend on her mother too. Yes. I think the same rule applies. However, that being said, my brother, who was born in 1946, could not apply through my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, because the law was passed in 1948. So if you were born before 1948, you can't. If you were born after 1948, you can.
Oh, that's hilarious. And it's interesting. And the reason I bring this up is because that's something that's come up. And knowing that history and being able to research those things, as you started going on this journey, and we hear the stories, like one of the biggest stories from my great-grandmother was always that if you asked her where she – and this, I think, is a difference. I very much delineate Sicilian from Italian. I think they do over there also, from my experience. But I delineate it very much. But my grandmother used to say, if you asked her where she lived at in Palermo, she would tell you the house on the hill. There was no address. There was nothing. And it was like, well, grandma, like what? It was the house on the hill. So what are some of the things, and that's a story that everybody in our family has kind of carried with us that knew her. What are some of the things you learned from yourself that kind of helped push this journey forward for you?
I think it's two things. The first thing is I always kind of identify with Italian. We went there the first time 27 years ago. And we're walking around and my wife said, "You love it here, don't you?" And I said, "I feel I'm with my people." Now she's half Sicilian. She didn't feel that way, but I did. But I always felt this strong attachment, you know, and I don't know if it's because my grandparents were always speaking Italian or we grew up with the Italian meals and all of that. I can't pinpoint why. The other thing is, and I truly believe that, they want to be found. And there's a person or persons, maybe two, in each family who has that calling to do this research and to find the history. Some of my cousins, they're very interested. Some of them are like, what are you wasting your time for? Who cares? And the funny thing, in Italy, they don't have to do that because they've been, you know, a lot of times they've been in the same place for 100, 200, 300 years.
Same
time. Have to do it, you know.
That's why I say our history. So if somebody wanted to start this journey, you know, obviously they can listen to your podcast, they can check out italiangenealogy.blog, you've got the YouTube videos, all these things going on. But if somebody said, "Hey, I want to start this journey to figure out my genealogy and to figure out, you know, what it means to have a heritage," what would you recommend?
Talk to grandma. Talk to grandpa. If they're not alive, find the oldest uncle, the oldest aunt, the oldest cousin. that's the place to start. The place, because the you'll learn a lot more from the oral history of your family than you will from researching any records. So they will know the stories. They may know, they'll know somebody that you never heard of. They'll be able to connect some of the dots for you. The other thing is, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, set up an account with FamilySearch.org. They're free. Ancestry, you have to pay. FamilySearch.org, you don't. And in some cases, I think it's easier to connect through FamilySearch.org. And they also have a free half-hour consultancy. So you could, they have a link. You could fill out a form. You send it to them. And if the, whatever they find, they'll then do a half-hour call with you.
Oh, that's cool.
And give you all the information. And I did it. I did it mainly just to try it because I've interviewed a few people from FamilySearch.org. And they found it wasn't necessarily a will. It was the challenge to a will from my fourth great uncle in Calabria.
Oh, down in Calabria, really?
Yeah, yeah. And it was all, you know, obviously all in Italian. And you know, when you're if you're lucky enough to find a will, a deed, or something like that, you get more insight into that person than just, you know, finding they were born on this date in this town. And the interesting thing about this great uncle, two things. One was his last name was DeRiso. He was the heir to the town of I think it was Carpignone. He had no male heirs. However, he stipulated in this will that no one could inherit his fortune unless their last name was DeRiso. The only DeRiso at the time was my fourth great grandmother, his niece, and even though she was a female, she inherited everything. One of her male cousins or nephews or something like that eventually challenged the will, and that's what this document is all about. But in this will, in this document, he had stipulated that the church was to receive funds from his estate in perpetuity. So, you know, like I said, these are the things that you learn if you're lucky enough to find something like that, as to what these people thought about. Of course, you know, Italians, I mean, very, like the Irish, very, very religious people. Oh, yes. Right? Everything was at the church. Even today, everything's about the church, right?
Well, that was perfect at my house. You know, I had an Irish grandfather and an Italian grandmother. Like, I can still remember one time we were going to church. I grew up in a Catholic church household. Going to church one time, and I wanted to throw on shorts, but we were going to see my grandmother, and you'd have thought I asked to go ahead and just put on a red suit and devil horns and walk into church. My father was like, "Son, we are not going to see your grandmother for church with you in a pair of shorts. That's not happening." And my father didn't go to church. It was one of those rare occasions. He's like, "That's not happening. Just know it's not happening." So I understand exactly what you mean with that. But so what are, you know, now on the show, on your podcast, what are some of the people that you interview, or what do you try to get behind as far as those interviews are concerned?
Well, I interview, you know, different types of people. Most of them are people just like us who have, you know, done their research, have an interesting story, want to tell the history of their family, where they're from, why they came, things like that. You know, I did come across some very, very interesting stories from a few people that, you know, I mean, you know, some people may think I'm nuts, but it kind of cements my idea that these people want to be found, because things have happened during their research that you can't explain. And, you know, one that really stands out a lot is a person from FamilySearch.org who I interviewed. He's Italian. And he was going to Pennsylvania to give a talk. And he was researching his grandmother. And I think he was looking for, it was either her birth certificate or her marriage certificate. I don't remember which. Anyway, he goes to this conference. He says, I look over in the booth and there's a woman there who's got the tag on that she's from the archives of New Jersey. And that's where my grandmother was from. So I went over and asked her, you know, I've been looking for this record. I can't find anything. You know, maybe you could help me out or something like that. And he said, before he left, he said, I looked up at the sky and looked up at the ceiling and said, Grandma, help me out. So he goes there, he sees this woman. He asks her, you know, here's my grandmother's name. He said, she kind of looked at me like, okay, sure. You know, like she couldn't be bothered. He said the next day before my talk, she came up to me, handed me an envelope and said, open this after you finish. And he opened up the envelope and it was his grandmother's record.
Wow.
So is that wild or what?
It really is. I actually, in the other room, I don't know if my wife's watching or not. If she is, I'll have her grab it for me. I have this. Here's an Italian one for you. I have my great grandmother's wedding photo hanging on the wall, but here's how Italian they were. She married the one brother. Her sister married the other brother. Like, and I mean, that was my Aunt Sadie, who I knew her grow. That was one of those things. Like, did you experience that a lot being in a big Italian household? I felt like everybody, like when we had gatherings, everyone was there. Like you couldn't miss the gathering. Everyone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, on my mom's side, that's what my grandmother lived for. That was her thing, singing the kids. She had 23 grandchildren. She lived to see the grandchildren. Nothing made her more happy than to see the grandchildren. And it's interesting because, you know, my parents come from two vastly different Italian families. My mom's family in Italy were farmers in Torrito Bari and, you know, very poor and things. And my father's family was, his father came from, I guess, a gentrified type of family. My great grandfather was an attorney who later became a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, wow.
My grandmother was from two noble families, very, very noble families. So, you know, when I compare the two families, I could never really understand.
Yeah, that's
why my mom's mother was very, very outgoing, very, you know, boisterous, loved to have the kids around. My dad's mom was much, much more stately. And I never could figure out why. And then now when I've done this research, I say she came from a totally different background.
Interesting. You know?
And that's kind of the way I kind of pieced it together. I mean, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of my thought process, you know?
Now with the one grandmother being much more, like you said, stately, more reserved in that sense, did she bring the Italian cooking to the table, or was that kind of like not a thing on that side compared to the other grandmother who, you know, she had to figure it out. She had to put it all together.
Well, my dad's mom, she had a stroke while the sauce was cooking on the stove. She lived in the two family house with my aunt downstairs, and my aunt used to hear her walking around. And one Sunday morning, she didn't hear her walking around. And she went upstairs and the sauce was on the stove and she laid down and didn't wake up.
Wow.
So the answer is yes. she was 78 years old. Still, my aunt lived downstairs. She was still making her sauce upstairs.
Yeah. Grandma Rosie lived to 90 something, 88, 90. Grandma Dorothy, who's my direct grandmother, she lived to be 92 or 93. And, now I got to ask this question, and this is a tough one to ask, I think, any Italian, but I have an answer. Favorite thing that your grandmother made?
Well, you know, by the time both my parents were at the younger end, so my grandmothers weren't cooking that much anymore. It was more my aunts and things.
Okay.
But my very, very favorite was my Uncle Frank would make the homemade raviolis for Easter and Christmas. And he would have the big board with the big pin and could roll out that dough, you know, paper thin and stuffed the raviolis. And I eventually wrote a song about the raviolis because my cousin Frank, when he was about 16, they used to put the ravioli on the sofa to dry. They put a sheet and put the ravioli.
Really?
To let them dry out. And my cousin Frank sat on the raviolis.
Oh, that's great. See, for me, my grandmother, her sauce was amazing. I finally figured out the secret just recently, which was country style pork ribs. I didn't realize that's what she used till one day I was just playing with stuff and I figured it out. But you know what she used to make was the olives. She would take the Spanish olives and crack the skin, put olive oil and red pepper flakes and like I think oregano in with them. Mm-hmm. And just leave them in the refrigerator. And there was always an entire thing of them in there. But she was such a great cook when she remarried my grandfather passed and she remarried a few years later. She married a Polish man, Kazimierz Tylak, who, you know, was my grandfather growing up. She learned how to make Polish food. That's how good she was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're a good cook, you're a good cook. I mean, you could cook anything. Now, have you been back? Have you been to Sicily?
I have been to Sicily once. I went to Catania, Sicily, because there's a base over there. So I went to Catania, Sicily. I've been to Bari, Italy, Naples, spent 2 weeks in Venice. That's where I've hit up in throughout Italy. Very, you know, and even did you go to Naples, Bob?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know when you said it was like 27.
We just went last year. Oh, yeah, just last year.
I don't know if it's any different. All I remember when we went to Naples was they gave us a Liberty brief like we were walking into New York City in the 80s.
No, it's much better now. Yeah. They were like,
listen, Marines, you go pairs of two at least. You don't leave your buddy. You don't understand this city. There's things going on. There's an element in this city. And I'm like, what? It's Naples. Like, isn't this supposed to be like pizza and stuff like that? Like, I'm 18, 19 years old at the time. I'm like, pizza, it's Naples. And they're like, no, no, you don't understand, Marine. Like, so back, this was 96, 97 Naples. So it was a different world.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's when we went there. But at the time, we just stopped there to get a car to go to Sorrento. But no, it was fine. We were on our own for a bit, but we also had, you know, the whole tour thing going, and that was specific just for us. But there was one specific area that they told us we couldn't go to. My grandmother's family grew up on Via Carbonara, and there's the Hotel Caracciolo used to be their palazzo, but they lived across the street, and there was a whole block of houses there. Because when I look at the records, I see number 30, number 23, and number 32. You know, somebody was born there, somebody died there, all that kind of stuff. My father's family lived just kind of maybe a quarter of a mile from there. And they said, we know you know where your dad's family is from, the Sorrentino's family, but we can't take you there.
Really?
So, you know, but we had a place in the old city. You know, it was fine. I mean, I wouldn't walk around there at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning by myself or with the family. But in the afternoon, it was fine. There was, you know, there were a million people around, tourists, that, you know, people who live there. The interesting thing about Naples, the old city, and I kind of learned this, but then people told me, Neapolitans still live there. It's not a tourist place. So it's still a vibrant Neapolitan city, you know, the way it always was. I mean, people are still hanging the laundry out the windows and, you know, sitting down and having their dinner and things like that. So, but, you know, you're in this town that's a, you know, city that's 1,000 years old, you know, well, more than 1,000 years old, actually, you know, and the cobblestones are still the same and all of that. I did a very specific ancestry tour with my friend Letizia Sinisi from Italy Rooting, and I wanted to go to the towns that my grandmother's ancestors came from because of that linkage to nobility. And so we went to Capricota, Molise, which was just a super, super little town, 1,000 people up in the mountains. We went to Avellino, where my 7th great grandfather, 8th, 9th great grandfathers were the princes of Avellino. And, you know, we had this experience, and I said to Letizia, I said, I can't believe that they're treating us like this. And she said, well, they would do that anyway, but because of your family. And I said, but that's what I don't understand. These people lived 300, 400, 500 years ago. And she said, we don't forget. They don't forget. And she said, if you think they treated you like royalty here, wait until you get to Calabria, wait till you get to Montebello. And that's where my grandmother's Piramalo, that's where her family was from. They were the barons of there. And they did this whole day affair with us with this big picnic. And you know, we talked about food earlier. Everything that we ate was made, not cooked, but created. So the cheese was homemade. The capicola was homemade. The wine, of course, was homemade. The olives were homemade. The bread was homemade. And I was eating the capicola, and I said to them, we don't have this in America. And they said, oh, you know, we do it the way we did it 300 years ago. We kill the pig on the day after Christmas. We cure it until March, and now you eat it. And it was so matter of fact, like, you know, doesn't everybody do this?
you didn't call it gabagool, right? You didn't.
No.
you don't like the gabagool.
And now it's interesting. So what was this tour? Tell me about this tour, because I find that, like, did you have to supply them with the information, or did they say, oh, you're looking for those folks? Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because of the years and years of research, I knew who they were. And so we were supposed to go just right when COVID hit, and wound up getting postponed. But when I hired Letizia to do this, I gave her the family, right? And I said, I want to go to these towns because I know these are the hometowns that, you know, they came from. And she did all the rest. She contacted all of these people. They set up all of these things. Wow. And, you know, I say this to people all the time. If you go to Italy and you know where your family is from and you don't visit that town, you blew it. You blew it. You know,
that's amazing.
That's the whole point. When you and again, there's stories. I'll tell you another story about things don't happen by accident. The person who helped me do some of my ancestry work over there, because I had a roadblock, and he helped me find the Sorrentino family. He had a client, and they were walking through the street in this little town. And this old lady comes up to them and says, you know, in Italian, who are you? So Alessandro explains to her that his family's from here and, you know, they lived on the street. And she said, aspetta. She goes in her pocket and pulls out his key and says, come with me. She goes to this little chapel for Santa Lucia. And in this chapel, they have the shrine to Santa Lucia. And in this particular town, what they would do is they were asking people from the United States or around the world to send money or to send things to help keep the church and everything. As it turned out, they never sold any of this stuff. They just put it in the shrine, and all of these things are there. And what she told this guy to do is to pick something up and put it on his eyes, because Santa Lucia is the patron saint of eyes. Okay. He puts the thing to his eyes and he says, I don't believe this. So Alessandra says, what don't you believe? He says, this has my great grandparents' names on it.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling you this story. So, you know, that's why I said these things don't happen by accident. And you know, when we went to the church in Capricota, for example, my 4th great grandmother, the one I mentioned earlier, the Riso, they had vestments that she had made in Naples in like 1790.
Now, what's a vest?
You know, the vest that the priests wear for mass.
Oh, okay.
And it had the crest on it, And the priest explained to me, this was donated by your fourth great grandmother. And these aren't the only ones. We have several of them. So these things are 300 years old. They still use them. They still use this stuff.
Now, how do they know, though, that that's who, where that came from?
Well, because, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, and people don't understand a lot of things about the nobility. I don't know about other places, but especially in Italy, the church was everything to these people.
Right. Yes.
And the nobility supported the church. They built the churches. They supplied the vestments. They supplied the chalices. They, you know, kept up the whole place because people didn't really have money for that. So knowing, you know, where my family came from, and the priest did this whole talk, you know, introducing us. And it was a Sunday. So it was after Sunday mass. Nobody left. Nobody left while the priest was introducing me and saying that my family came from this place. And then I had a talk. And of course I'm talking in English and nobody left. It's just, you know, it's just the way they are there. Wow. They're very respectful and very excited when we go there and we say, we want to see where our grandparents lived, our great grandparents lived. They love it. They love it.
Yeah. I find that completely fact. Cause to me, I would love to go, but obviously I'm scared that I'm going to show up and I'm gonna be like, yeah, so like the Marantos and the Valenzianos, and somebody's gonna be like, "Here's your bill, you owe us money." somebody didn't pay a tab, and now that we know where to find you. This is on you at this point, and I'm gonna be like, "I don't."
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because some people there think we're going back to claim something. So.
Right, you know, like, oh wow, wait a sec, he's showing up. You know, you got some back taxes here on. You know, your grandmother said that it was the house on the hill.
Yeah.
You got some taxes you need to pay. And I don't have any Italian money. I might have a coin around here somewhere left over from a trip.
But well, in September, we're going to my mother's hometown in Bari, Torito. And the interesting thing about there is that my great grandfather actually owned a house, which is unusual. And he was the town milkman in that he had a cow or two, and he would walk through the street with the cow, and if you wanted milk, he'd stop in front of your door, milk the cow.
What? What? That's crazy. You know, there's a lot. It must be, you know, my dad was a juice man, Bob. You know, he used to deliver juice to everybody, you know, when you didn't get it. But so – now you talk about that, like going back over and you know, these connections. And folks, look, make sure you're checking out ItalianGenealogy.blog. You can also find Bob on Facebook with Italian Roots and Genealogy. He's over on LinkedIn. Bob Sarantino, he's over there. You can find him on LinkedIn. He's the CEO of everything. You know, you can find Bob around. Make sure you're checking these things out. Make sure you see what he's got going on. What about with these type of things? You know, I know we talked about, you know, you said asking grandparents, aunts, uncles, things of that, people of that nature. Is there any other, you know, like I did Ancestry, and it was interesting to me that when I did Ancestry, funny enough, my Italian side really didn't show up. They weren't on there. Like I finally recently had one of them show up. A lot of the Irish side, my mother's side. Is there any other of those? I know you mentioned the one that was free. Is there any other spots that you say, you know, like what about going to, you know, a consulate, you know, if you have time to go to New York City or reaching out to an Italian consulate, is it worth it? Can they help you? Or is that kind of like, that's not what they're there for?
No, that's not what they're really there for. I mean, the best place to go, if you have questions, you know, I have like 11,000 on my Facebook group now, Italian Roots and Genealogy. People there will help you in an instant. So if you have a question, you have a family. I mean, I can't tell you. I've lost count of how many people have found the actual relatives there. In fact, I found one that got on that I never knew of before. So the, you know, a lot of people help there. They'll help with translations. That, you know, you'll probably find a family member there.
All right.
Now, the other thing is too, if you know the hometown, look for a Facebook page with that hometown.
Okay. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. If you do that, put it out there, put your name out there. If there's somebody on there that has that last name, they'll probably help you. And also look for groups with your last name.
Now, here we go. So I'm Bob. I'm going to jump. I'm jumping right on to your Facebook group right now. So we're going to Italian Roots and Genealogy. So if I was on Italian Roots and Genealogy on Facebook, how would you recommend that I ask that question? Like, hey, I'm looking to find any, what I say, hey, I'm looking to find any Marantos or Valenzianos from Palermo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that. Just right. Like that. I'm researching. I'm just starting my research, or I've been researching a little bit. I'm just looking to see if there's any family members. And don't be surprised if somebody says, hey, I know that last name.
All right. So we're going to do it, Bob. Right now, live on the air, I'm looking for any, I don't even know how to spell Maranto. Marantos. Right. How do you spell Maranto, Bob?
I think it would be Maranto, I think. Maranto, probably.
See, this is already the problem, Bob. I don't know how to spell it.
Doesn't matter. You know, somebody will say the real spelling is this.
Marantos or Valenziano. I don't even know how to spell that one. I know I spelled that one wrong too. This is not good, Bob. How am I going to find my family, Bob, if I can't even spell the right name? This isn't good.
Trust me. Somebody will recognize it. Believe me. Somebody will come back and say, I think you mean this name.
Somebody will be like, you're an absolute imbecile. How dare you butcher the Italian names like this? You're an absolute fool. What are you doing?
Well, your first name is Sean, so they'll get it.
They'll get it. They'll be like, stupid Mick over here trying to put in some Italian stuff. And he's getting it all wrong. Yeah, no, it's going to happen. So now for your podcast, I wanted to ask, because I love supporting other podcasters, and we're coming up on time to close the bar here soon. How often do you record? Where can they find you? We talked a little bit about this before the show. You do lives also, right?
Yeah. Once in a while I'll do a live. I call it Sunday Italian dinner, and I'll try to get a guest, and then, you know, people could chime in and ask a question here and there, but I try to do one a week. I think there's some close to 200 out there now. If it's on, it's the home audio is on Buzzsprout.
I know Buzzsprout.
So it's on there, but if you just go to the blog, you can find everything there. You can find all the links on there to the podcast and also to the YouTube, or just go to the Facebook page and everything's out there. So it's pretty simple to find.
Right. So yeah, oh, there is. I found how to spell Valenziano. So now you're doing once a week, doing lives. I always ask all my podcasters this. Getting into podcasting, if somebody wanted to get into it, I know this is a little bit of a left turn for us, because I want everybody to go to italiangenealogy.blog. I want everybody to check out Italian genealogy or Italian roots and genealogy. I want you to check that out. Get in. There's any advice for somebody who's looking to get into podcasting? I always got to ask that, especially you've done more. I thought I did a lot of episodes. You got me beat.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, it's pick your passion. You know, something that you're passionate about. I like Buzzsprout. I found it easier. They now have, you can, once you have a certain number of episodes, and it's not a lot, it's not like YouTube, you could actually put advertising out there that they give you. So, you know, it's you're in a few cents here and there. But it's not hard. Pick something that you know and start with somebody that you know, start with friends. That's what I did. I started with a couple of friends. I started with a couple of cousins. I go back and listen to them now, watch them now, and I'm like, oh my God, that was horrible. But people actually now tell me, like, yo, you know how to interview. So
it feels good, doesn't it? Let's ask this question. So Sunday sauce, let's talk about this for a second. Did you do the eggs? Yay, nay?
No. I mean, I know of it. I didn't do the eggs. Interesting that you asked. My mom's family, there was always, you know, we were there every Sunday. There was always a pot of sauce with, you know, some kind of meatballs and beef and pork and all of that in it. Oh. I have, and it's on the website. If you go to the website, and you look for the recipes, I have a bunch of family recipes out there that even you could cook as an Irishman. But I have my paternal grandmother's sauce, and people freak out when I say this. She put in celery, really? Chopped up celery, which it's not sugar, but it takes the acid out. And she, you know, again, she was from Naples, from an upper class family. At the end, when you're finishing it, butter. Believe it or not,
100% would agree with that.
Put butter in there, and Italians freak out when I say this.
Really?
Yeah. But believe me, it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
So I put butter in my sauce. I've always done it. Just a thing to do that. Hey, welcome to Cooking Hour. Two guys who are just eating chips from their grandparents. But I always did that. I always thought that, you know, a little bit, like just a pat or two, nothing crazy. It's just,
just
a little bit of added fat.
Just to finish at the end. Yeah.
It's a little bit of added fat into it. It gives a good flavor. And if I use salted butter, so it gives a little bit of that to it. But I had my aunt's father, who was very Italian, but he always put sugar in his sauce. And yeah. I would be like, Pop. And I was a kid. He was like, I had a lot of like, this grandfather died and that aunt father would like, all right, you're mine now. Yeah, I'll take you on over here. And he would put sugar in it. And I'd be like, Pop, please don't do that. It was like putting candy on top of noodles. And I was like, can't do it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, when you go to the recipe page, I want you to check out Uncle Tony's Chicken.
Uncle Tony's Chicken.
Tony's Chicken. And I'm not bragging. Well, maybe I am. I make the best eggplant parmesan, and that recipe's out there too.
Ooh, bro, that's, you do understand that's.
So when you were growing up, you took the bologna sandwiches to the beach. We were taking eggplant parmesan.
I mean, like, that's a big statement to say you make the best, because my stepmother makes, I call it eggplant lasagna, where she layers the eggplant like a lasagna, but it's parm.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I do.
Brother, listen to me. If you find me sleeping on your front step one morning, and you're like, who is this strange bearded man on my front steps with a bottle of whiskey? It's me, I promise. It's okay. Just let me in to eat. Oh, God, yes. See, but you know what? That goes back, you know, and bringing this full circle back to what we were kind of talking about. I think that's one of those things about Italian culture that everyone loved. You know, if you talk to my cousin, Kim is 10 years older than me. So she knew my great grandmother way more than I did. Like she grew up with her more than I did. And to hear the stories, you know, everyone in the neighborhood came to my great grandmother's house to eat. My mother lived at the opposite end of the block of the alley that my father lived on. And that's Baltimore. It's alleys. It's, but you know, you would come up. I've run into people that were my uncle's age, who's only 8 years older than me, and would tell me, oh yeah, your grandfather would pay me 50 cents to wash his car. And then your great grandmother would come out with cookies or bread or something for us to go eat. So, I mean, I think that's one of those things that makes Italian culture so endearing to us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, family was paramount. I mean, you know, everything was about the family. And in fact, I've gathered home movies from, I think, 6 or 7 different families. And I'm going to work on a kind of a Ken Burns type of thing where I interview them and show the family movies going back to the, my friend Tommy actually goes back to the 1930s. So I have movies from the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s where I'm going to show, you know, dispel that whole soprano mafia kind of nonsense and show that, you know, we were just regular people, you know. We had family gatherings like everybody else. We went on picnics and, you know, even have, you know, Tommy's got his parents' wedding. I have my parents' wedding from 1944.
I love it.
And, but, you know, that's the thing, you know, the family was paramount back then to everybody. And unfortunately we've lost that. I think for the most part,
I would agree with you. You know, we weren't a every Sunday household. We weren't, but there was those events and you showed up and, you know, my grandmother made my, our house, we weren't a Seven Fishes house. I don't know if you guys were. Were you a Seven Fishes house?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fish person, but yeah, they had it every Christmas Eve.
See, I am a fish person, and we grew up in Baltimore. We never did Seven Fishes, but we were monstrous pan of lasagna and warm sauce on the stove. I can't remember ever going to my grandmother's and not they're not something on the stove, meatballs, and it was always the same thing. It was meatball, sausage, and ribs in sauce.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah,
and we didn't call it gravy; it was sauce. I'm sorry. Some people say,
"Yeah, no, we were gravy, but
we were gravy." See, we were sauce. I don't know why.
I tell people, does it matter? As long as it tasted good, who cares what you called it?
That's it. Like, and nothing was better than Santoni. That was the grocery store. Santoni's Italian bread. Dipped inside of it was a biggest smear of butter you could find. Like,
yeah.
And then stick it right in there until my grandmother yelled at me to not double dip. It probably happened at least once. So you've got the podcast, you've got the blog. What is the, you know, we're coming towards the end of everything. I don't want to miss anything. Bob, I'm so Bob, I feel like this is like one of those conversations where I'm like, I want to tell people about this, but they don't believe me when I tell them. I'm like, listen to me. It wasn't until I did my 23andMe, and I'm like, it's going to come back. I'm 25% Sicilian. People are like, right, right, right. And then I like flip it around. I'm like, see? And they're like, you? I grew up I had blonde hair growing up. My grandma. Yeah,
my cousin's 100% Italian. He's got red hair. So, you know, so who knows? But so since you mentioned it, before we go,
yeah,
the book.
There it is.
Farmers and Nobles, about my two families. It's available on Amazon. It's Kindle. It's Barnes & Noble, Janaway, and on my website. But I go into, you know, my stories, some of the other stories I mentioned. There's more of those. How I started. A little background about my two families, and then I go into some of these noble families, because one, you know, we know the Spanish nobility, we know the French nobility, the English nobility. People don't realize that up until 1860, 1861, all of Italy were all these little fiefdoms, these little cities. I mean, every city had a baron, a count, this or that, the other thing. So, you know, we're talking less than 200 years ago, the country, it wasn't a country.
Yeah. I think we missed that, you know, cause you know, you get into the fact that you really want to get people riled up, Bob, remind them that the Roman Empire still existed as we were becoming a country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're like, what? Yeah, yeah. The Roman Empire was just coming to the backside of it as we were still a country. And then they really get riled up. So the books, do you read it? Do you have an audio version yet, Bob?
I don't yet.
I need you to read it, Bob.
With my New York at with this accent, you want me to read?
Absolutely. How perfect is that? So my grandmother met my grandfather. They were both, one was a noble, one was a peasant. They got together. They hung out. They went to the boroughs. They listen here. It was a beautiful thing. How great would that be, Bob?
Like, all right. Since you say so, I'll do it.
That, see, I'm all about those good accents. I have a horrible Baltimore accent. I mean, give me a break here. You know, so you can use your smooth, silky New York accent. Brooklyn, Queens, which is it?
Queens.
Say, you know, and you could use that.
You know the King of Queens, right?
The show, yeah.
The show. You know the shot where he's walking away with the lemon ice and it falls out?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning there, the Lemon Ice King of Corona.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandmother lives four blocks from there.
No.
We used to get 5 gallon, a big 5 gallon from there when we'd have parties.
See, I love that.
And so the guy who ran it was Pete Benferrimo. Benferrimo, I think. You could only have one flavor. You could not say, give me lemon and blueberry. No. You get one flavor. You get chocolate, you get lemon, you get blueberry. No mixing.
That's it. You get your one flavor and you get out.
That's it.
Like, could you get back in line and get another one?
You could get another flavor, but you couldn't put them on the same. You couldn't mix them together on the same, that little cardboard thing there. That's
so great. I love. See, those are the things like today. Somebody would write a Yelp review and be like, I tried to get this mixed on here and this gentleman just wouldn't allow it to happen. And they'd be like, it's such a kitschy little place. It's so, so nouveau. Like, and to us, it was like, really? Just put it on here. No, this is the way this works. You cannot argue this. I love it. Your next episode, Bob, what do we got for the next episode?
I don't remember who's coming up next, to be honest with you. I do have a couple coming up that within the next month or so. One is going to be about DNA. So, an expert on DNA and how when you look at ancestry, what does it all mean and how to make sense of it. So that one's coming up, I think in August. I think the next few are just, you know, people like us just telling their stories. If you want to tell your story, you know, contact me on message me on Facebook, join the group, message me on Facebook, and then I'll put you in the rotation.
There you go, folks. So make sure you're checking out ItalianGenealogy.blog or you're on Italian Roots and Genealogy. We got it. Look, just to ruin everybody's summer, Christmas is only 6 months away. So you need to get a book. So hold the book up again, Bob. So everybody can see the book. So everybody can get Farmers and Nobles. Get that book. It's on Amazon. I know y'all got Amazon accounts.
There's the back.
You can see all about Bob's family and everything. And maybe you can figure out how you could go over to Italy or wherever your people are from and go do a trip over there. Because there's probably, if there's one for Italians, there's probably one for, you know, Croatians or Lebanese or something like that. And you can go do the same exact thing. We got to get ready to close things up. But Bob, I think this is appropriate to have one guy who is Italian telling another guy who at least looks the part too, Bob. You got the mustache. Bob's got, if you're not watching the live video, Bob's got a good mustache. Like, you got the same mustache my Uncle Wayne.
No hair.
Like, the hair is missing. I mean, he is right there. And he's got the shirt. He has got the shirt on at that. Like, the good Italian bowling shirt on. Like, in any minute, he's got to be like, look, dude, I got to go. I got league night tonight. We got to go. So getting ready here, those of you that watched the whole episode, normally you've watched me end these with Earplug Podcast Network. A few months ago, the Podfather Herb, loved him to death. He closed it down. He's no longer podcasting after 12 years, and I needed to keep this going. So that being said, this is the inaugural episode. I wanted to wait till the end of it of the Second Front Network, a podcast and entertainment network dedicated to all of our hosts will be prior service, military, don't care what the subject is. So if you know somebody who's a podcaster out there that's prior service or is looking to get into podcasting that's prior service and has questions, please reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, even our email. It's all the Above the Bar podcast. Please reach out. Let us know. Again, this is the first one. You'll get to see our new clothes at the end of this episode. Please go follow Bob and everything he's got going on, all his stuff. I mean, Bob, you're a lot of fun, Bob. I'm going to tell you. And what were you drinking, Bob? I forgot to ask you. What were you drinking?
Bushmills.
Do you want to give the Bushmills story now, or you want to wait till afterwards?
Let's wait till afterwards. It gets kind of long.
All right. I like a good story about a good drink. So as we do on, and I, like I said, Bob, I know you listen to all 185 episodes. This is 186, I think. We always give the guest an opportunity for the final word. So, Bob, what is the final word?
The final word is, if you're Italian and you're going to Italy, you have to go to the hometown or it doesn't mean anything.
Alrighty, folks, be sure to push your stool in. This has been a Second Front podcast presentation found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found.